Road of Life, brought to you by Dove, D-U-Z, Dove, the new kind of soap that does everything in your wash.
Dr. Brent, call surgery. Dr. Brent, call surgery. Dr. Brent, call surgery.
Oh, it's Dan, the Does mailman.
Hi, Mr. Collier. Look at the big stack of Does letters that just came in.
Golly, folks everywhere are finding out this soap does everything.
You said it. Take this letter from Fayetteville, North Carolina.
What's that?
Mrs. A.M. Waddell says her husband got his Panama hat all greasy working under their car.
Uh-huh.
So she does the hat.
Hey, the lid does did, huh?
Sure. And pipe this postal card from Bellevue, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Grace Russell likes Does so much on wash day, she's even got her brother using it.
Her brother?
Yep. He lathers up his beard with Does when he shaves. It's Does for his fuzz.
How do you like that? Say, listen to this letter from Cambridge, Massachusetts. Mrs. Mary Busby writes, I do a family wash for 10 people, but Does makes it easy. Our towels come out snow white, the work clothes so clean, and the colored rayons so pretty. I wouldn't be without Does for any money. Well, folks, Mrs. Busby is right. You just won't find a soap that gets towels whiter or work clothes cleaner than Does. Yet it gives your colored rayon undies extra safety. You see, when you Does everything on wash day, you've got the soap that's best. Actual comparisons with 25 different wash day soaps proved it. Only Does, the new kind of soap, gives you this amazing combination. Unsurpassed whiteness for towels, unbeaten suds for cleaning work clothes, and greater safety for colors. So be a lady who does best.
Take it from Dan, the Does mailman. Does everything.
And now we invite you to listen to Road of Life.
To all members of the staff, a joint meeting of the staff and the Board of Trustees will be held 1 week from today in the boardroom of the hospital. Purpose of this meeting is to hear charges of expulsion brought against James Ellis Brent, M.D., for a breach of ethics committed in an operating room in this hospital on the morning... Decision as to the disposition of the case will also be made at this meeting. Signed, Grant Frazier, M.D., Chief of Staff. Hey, you know what this means, Jim?
Oh, I have a pretty good idea.
Well, he's trying to boot you out of the hospital.
That seems to be the general drift of it.
Well, you don't think we're going to let him get away with it, do you?
What did you say?
We're not going to let Frazier get away with this, are we, Jim?
If the letter which was meant to seal Jim Brent's professional doom had a bad effect upon him, the attitude taken by his foster son provided immediate compensation. During the last year, John had been slipping away from him. To make matters even worse, he'd been paying a great deal of attention to Frazier. But now, upon receipt of this letter, John suddenly reverted to his teaching, his background, his family. Try hard as he might, Jim Brent could not contain the pleasure he found in seeing his son swing slowly, unconsciously perhaps, to his side. John, standing beside him in front of the staff mailboxes on the first floor of the city hospital, was already plunging deep into plans.
Whether you realize it or not, Jim, you've got something big on your hands.
Oh, I don't think it's as serious as you're making it.
Well, didn't you read the letter?
About 6 or 7 times.
Well, then you should know what it means. I only read it once, but I can see what's coming.
I don't think we should exaggerate the situation, John. I appreciate your concern.
Exaggerate? You don't want to get tossed out of this hospital, do you?
Oh, I don't expect him to go that far. After all, it's my word against Frazier.
Well, that's a lot. Frazier's a smooth talker. If anybody knows that, I do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Don't rub it in, I know. But listen, you ought to make some plans. I'll tell you what we ought to do. First thing is,
Hold it.
Now, what's the matter?
You'd better lower your voice a bit. That is, unless you want the whole hospital in on these plans.
I didn't realize I was bellowing. Well, as I was saying, the first thing we'll do is get Tom Parsons to testify.
To what?
To testify. He'll do it.
Oh, but John...
Tom thinks that what you did this morning was absolutely terrific. He also said that Frazier had no business in the world barging into that operating room and interrupting you while you had a patient on the table.
Well, that's very nice of Tom.
Now,
but
all we have to do is have him tell that staff meeting exactly what he told me. They'll understand. Now, in addition to Tom, I think...
Wait a minute.
What?
All that won't be necessary.
Won't it?
Well, of course not. I'll tell the story of what happened myself. That'll be enough.
Oh, now, look, don't be so naive. You've got to have people support your statement. Just give me a list of who was in that operating room this morning, and I'll go around and get all the witnesses you need.
No, you won't.
Why not?
What you'll do is stop building up this business. You're making it sound as though I'm accused of murdering Frazier instead of taking a punch at him.
Well, he's as mad as if it had been murder. Believe me, Jim, I talked with him, I know.
Oh, he'll calm down before the meeting. Don't worry.
I doubt it. He's not only angry about the sock you threw at him, but that society patient of his, Mrs. Herbert, got up and walked out of the hospital when she found out he didn't have an operating room ready for him.
So I heard.
Out of the hospital and off his list of patients. She's through with him. Do you realize how big a fee he lost? And to Frazier, money's the main reason for practicing medicine. Why, he's telephoned her 6 times already. She just won't talk to him.
Well, I'm sorry he lost a patient on account of me. Perhaps if I wrote her a note and explained about the emergency
case...
Skip
it. She doesn't care what you were doing. The important thing is that she wasn't wheeled into the operating room at the precise moment she was scheduled to go in. And to her, that's a gross case of neglect, and she refuses to get over it.
Well, there's nothing I can do about that. But I think I'm in the right and Frazier's in the wrong. That's rather a pedantic statement to make, but that's the way it shapes up. And it's not entirely impossible that Frazier may see that later and admit it.
He may see it, but he'll never admit it.
Well, maybe not. Say, do you know what time it is? I can't stand out here talking with you. I've got to get upstairs and see my patient.
Right away?
I'm late already. Come on, walk me to the elevator.
Look, can't I convince you that you're in a bad spot?
You can't convince me that I won't get out of it just by telling the truth.
Jim, what would you say to my going to Frazier and having a talk?
About what?
Calling this business off.
I'd say no.
But Frazier could...
No. Thanks for offering to do it, son, but I wouldn't want you to put yourself in that position. I'll make out all right now. Don't you think
but
I want
Jim...
that?
Jim...
Here's my elevator. I'll see you later, John.
Yeah. He doesn't know what he's in for. Poor guy. Been treating him like a heel for so long that maybe... Well, what if I did walk down the hall and drop in on Frazier? Not a bad idea. Maybe some good can come of it. I guess Frazier's secretary's gone home. Wonder if he's still there. Well, nothing like finding out. If he's around, he ought to be in the inside office. Jim doesn't go for this, but I think it's okay. Frazier's not a half bad guy. He'll listen to reason. Oh, well. Dr. Frazier?
Oh, hello, John.
I wonder if I might come in for a moment, sir. I'd like to talk with you.
Oh, very important, John?
Well, in a way, yes, sir. It is.
I see. Could wait till later, could it? Matter of fact, I have someone in my office now, and I wouldn't want to. You understand?
Certainly, yeah.
It isn't too long. Perhaps you could tell me what's on your mind out here, and I wouldn't have to.
Oh, sure. It won't take me long. Dr. Frazier, I've just been talking to a few people, and...
Yes, my boy?
I've also seen a copy of the letter you sent out to the staff. The one about the meeting that has to do with Jim.
Oh.
And I was sort of wondering, Dr. Frazier, if you'd reconsider it.
This isn't at all like you, John. You're not the sort of fellow who usually intrudes into other people's affairs.
I don't mean to seem intruding, sir. It's just that I realize you and Jim haven't always hit it off together, and... Well, I thought if I could do anything to straighten out this matter,
No, this isn't at all like you. Who put you up to it, your father?
Now, just a second, Dr. Frazier.
Yes?
You've known my father for a long time. You ought to be sure that he wouldn't think of anything like this. I was talking to Tom Parsons, and he was there in the operating room this morning. He told me that...
I was under the impression that I had told you exactly what had happened in the operating room this morning. Is my word good enough for you, John? You have to go to others to verify what I say? What's come over you? You've always seemed to show a fondness and trust for me. Is it cheap maudlin sentimentality that's cropping up to interfere with our friendship?
It isn't sentimentality, Dr. Frazier. It's just a desire to see things done right.
Well, I'm doing what I consider to be right. Now, if you'll excuse me, John, I'll go back inside.
Well, I don't think it's right. You're putting Jim in a spot that can very easily ruin him professionally.
Now, you listen to me, John. He did something that was completely wrong this morning. For years, he's been throwing his weight around this hospital and getting away with it. Now it's high time he paid the price for it.
And you're the fiddler who's calling the tune, huh?
This sort of thing was bound to happen sooner or later. If I'm the one who has to bring him to account, all good and well, I'll do it.
With pleasure, no doubt.
John, I like you. Stay out of this. Keep your hands clean.
Why?
Because I'm going to take the golden-haired boy of this hospital and turn him into the fatted calf. When that's done, he's going to be taken over the coals, and when he comes out at the other end, he's going to be cinders and ashes. I wouldn't say this to anyone else, but I like you. I consider you my protege. Now take my advice, boy, and stay as far away from him as you can. In another week, he's going to be one of the untouchables.
Grant Frazier, turning on his heel, walked back into his office, closing the door behind him. His exit from the room was like a whirlwind and had the same effect on John. He was shocked and completely amazed. All he could see in the vacuum that was left by Frazier was that the chief of staff planned much more for Jim Brent than his letter intimated. You know, it takes all-around ability to get to the head of the class. So when I say does is best, does everything in your wash, I want you to know does more. It does everything in your dishpan, too.
That's saying a lot.
Not for does. It really does everything for dishes. If you want suds that stand up till the last dish is done, does gives them to you. This new kind of soap bursts into suds the instant water strikes it. And those suds really stand up so you don't keep pouring in more soap.
That's good.
And if you want really fast action on grease, Does gives you that too. Just Does those frying pans and see how it cuts through stubborn grease without any hard scarring.
That's better.
And if you want extra kindness for your hands, then you want Does. It's kinder to them than any other leading wash day soap. Does leaves your hands wonderfully smooth and soft.
Say, that's best of all.
Oh, you like Does best of all. Because in the dishpan, too, does everything. Be sure to listen tomorrow when D.U.Z. Does will again bring you another absorbing episode on Road of Life. This is Clayton Collier saying good day for Procter & Gamble, the makers of Does, the soap that does everything in your wash.